Touring and albums and DVD. Do you have or planning an album anytime?
Well, yeah, I'm always. I don't like to say planning.
Okay.
Because, you know, many, as the Bible says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, mm-hmm. but it's the purpose of God that will be established.
Yeah.
So I don't like to plan because plans fall apart. they tend to do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
That guy Murphy comes along.
And yeah.
The law happens. So I don't plan anything, but I do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I do things with a purpose.
Yes.
So the purpose now that the DVD is done and hopefully coming out is, my purpose now is to make other music.
Okay.
Now, am I doing that so that I could put the music out? No. Just like I didn't with Eye of the Storm. I had no plan to put it out, but it did come out in 2000. And,
yeah.
And it was well received. So that's how I approach the music now. So yeah. I'm playing a lot. I'm doing a lot of different kinds of music. I'm doing Mahogany Rush music. I'm doing blues music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Just because that's what happens that day.
Yeah.
That's the purpose for that day.
Exactly.
I even have pop tunes.
Yeah.
You know, so what'll happen with them, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. In the 90s, I mean, you just mentioned you took a break for a while in the 90s. You were raising your kids, but we saw a big change in the music industry.
Yeah, terrible.
CDs to Napster, MP3s, downloading.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Well, I'm all...
At that period, though, for now.
Well, I didn't... Look, whether someone downloads my stuff or doesn't, you know, I mean, illegally downloaded, what was called illegal at the time. I wasn't taking the position of what's that band, Metallica?
Yeah.
Of being upset with that. From my point of view, you know what? I knew a lot of people in those days. They had things called iPods and music players, MP3 players. And these kids would always talk about how they had 40,000 songs or 30,000 songs. And I knew that they'd never listened to any of them.
Yeah.
So the way I looked at it was, people who were downloading your stuff because they just wanted to have it, that was very much like people listening to you if you were on the radio. The record companies never had a problem with people being... The record companies would have been happy as hell if a radio station says, we're going to play that song over and over again for 24/7. Yeah. And everyone could tape it at home.
Yeah.
No record company would say, no, don't you dare.
Yeah.
They wanted that. So the way I see it is, if somebody downloaded it for that kind of reason, they weren't going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody liked you because they liked what you did and they downloaded it, they'd probably go support you and buy it just to have it. That's the way I looked at it.
Okay.
I don't think you were really losing anything. You're only technically losing. You could say, well, there was 40,000 downloads of such and such an album of mine. But would all 40,000 have really bought it? That's the big question.
Yeah.
And nobody can actually answer that question.
Not accurately.
And I'm not sure I want the answer to that question, because on the one hand, it might make you upset, and on the other hand, it might make you very, very happy.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm okay with it. What I'm not okay with, really not okay with, and that's my phone, so don't worry about it, it'll stop. But what I'm seriously not okay with is bad versions of my material.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't like YouTube. I don't like YouTube. You'll have to edit this.
Oh, yeah.
Because YouTube is filled with uploads of terrible recordings,
mm-hmm.
shot on terrible equipment with even worse sound. And people get the idea that that's what that was.
Yeah.
And not just my band, but any band.
Oh, yeah. It's, all
it's awful. Yeah. So I don't like that.
Yeah.
But if people were recording properly, whether it's with cameras or with recorders, really properly, like this DVD is properly recorded and properly shot.
Yeah.
And they could do it all they like.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'm just worried about what happens to the actual art, to the music. And when you present it in the wrong light, it's kind of like saying, I have this really great painting, but you have to sort of look through the cereal, you know, that I threw against it, or
yeah.
you know, the mud.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's not such a great painting anymore. You know? That's the right. Feeling is not the same.
Yes.
You can even take the Mona Lisa and smear it with peanut butter, and it ain't the Mona Lisa.
That's right.
You know? So that's sort of my thing about that.
Yeah, because it's kind of damaging. I got some quotes here from some musicians about rock music, and this all ties into the industry in the 90s going in that direction till today. John Mellencamp said, he quotes, and I think it was Ray Davies who said that rock and roll is going to come back. Mellencamp says, it's not going to come back. We've seen it. It happened. It's like it had a 50-year run of a particular type of music, and history will tell us that. Gene Simmons goes on to say, rock did not die of old age. It was murdered. It's much harder to earn a living playing and writing songs. No one will pay you to do it. It's finally dead. Rock is dead. And Slash says it's probably at its lowest ebb of all times. What do you think of their quotes concerning rock music as a genre in today?
I think that if you judge those varied opinions,
yeah,
and I believe one of them was opposite to the others, one said yes and most said no, am I correct?
Yeah.
I think if you evaluate those opinions on the basis of rock for profitability, the guys that are the naysayers are correct.
Yeah.
From a profitability point of view, if that's your motivation, mm-hmm. for sure it's not coming back, ever.
Right.
But as music or an art form, absolutely it never left. It's just become, let's say, a little bit more obscured because there are many other forms that are now available.
Yeah.
It's rather like, and if I might use an analogy, if I went out onto the road in 1962,
right,
I'd be able to get home and tell someone about the Corvair that I saw, the Volkswagen, the Cadillac, and perhaps the Corvette. But if I go in 2018, there's just too many cars.
Yeah.
And the Corvair might still be there, and so might the Cadillac and everything else.
Yeah.
But I may not have seen them.
Yeah.
For all the cars that there are, and for how many other cars yeah. today look alike. So the fins of the Cadillac, they'd really show out. If all of yeah. a sudden a 57 Caddy came down the street today, we'd really notice it.
Yeah.
But there's so many cars, I'm not sure the owner would want to take his car out on the road. So I kind of look at it that way. Rock and roll doesn't go anywhere. It's there.
Yeah.
People will still clap their hands and stomp their feet to it and still feel like it what it was. But it won't be profitable. And it'll be obscured by all the other things that are there. But if you go looking for it, if I go looking for a 57 Cadillac,
you'll find one.
I'm going to find yeah. one. And it doesn't mean necessarily that there are less of them. And in fact, they're worth more.
Yeah.
Because people hold on to them.
Yeah.
So I think rock and roll is kind of like that. It's always there. It's always been there. And it's always going to be there. But those looking for a profit are going to more tend to say, there's no money to make off that.
Yeah.
And they'd be right. They'd be right about yeah. that. But I don't look at music for a profit.